Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're going to be covering a lot of issues when it comes to the developments of the country, particularly those that are revolving around the budget, around what is expecting after the budget, and of course, pre-budget discussion. But before we do all that, we'd like to cover some of the developments when it comes to talent development and, of course, digital adoption and many more. So joining us in the studio is Derek Yee, the co-founder for Sigma School. Derek, thanks for taking time to speak with us. Let's first understand a little bit better about Sigma School. What does it stand for? What is it all about?
Thank you so much, Ibrahim, for having me today. So my name is Derek, and Sigma School is my number one baby. What we do today is we find that gap in talent shortages for technology. Because looking at the way the landscape is moving today, how the world is advancing towards more and more. Look at all the top companies in the world today. Mm-hmm. They're all software-driven. Look at the global digital transformation market. They're all software-driven. Mm-hmm. The number one problem today is for a country to advance forward, you need innovation. Mm-hmm. And what is one thing, right, besides labor and capital, what is one thing that allows you to grow exponentially? Build it once and it's there forever. It's tech. It's software. Right? So if the country is not able to build more talents, the country failed to advance and compete with other countries out there.
So the question is, why coding? Why not something else?
Coding is at the very start of technology, right? Everything you look at today, it's all software, right? Regardless of the AI, cybersecurity, cloud, it all starts with coding. So you understand the fundamentals. That's where you start branching out, going into choosing whatever fields you want in web, mobile app, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the kind of programs that you're rolling out for coders in Malaysia.
Okay, So the way I'm doing it today is we run on... So in terms of the program, the curriculum, we cover modern tech stacks that's used in global companies. So I'm not going to cover the exact programming names because it's technical. But these are technologies that, if you look at it today, we need innovation because if you look at the technologies that's used by a lot of Malaysian companies today, these are technologies that are slow. What if I told you now that through my innovation and our research, we found ways to cut down development speed by 300%, by three times. Mm. Why can we do that? It's because the world of technology advances every few months. Every few months, you have abstractions on top of existing technologies that allows you to cut down your costs. So imagine if there were two equal startups today, two equal companies today. One company is able to speed up development by 300%, which means their cost is down by 300%. Doesn't that help them speed up development, innovate faster, right? Have more things, for more times and more budget for other things. So that's the kind of direction we're looking at, innovating on the curriculum.
We want to learn more about the kind of people that have gone through Sigma School, the number of people, the kinds of people, the age. Maybe you can share with us.
Sure. So Sigma School today we are 5 months old. It's still very new in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. But what we've had so far is we've had a Filipino student from the Philippines who, after graduating from university, he was making $500. And after this, he worked with us for a few months and now he's making $1,500, right? Mm-hmm. Another guy who is one of my top developers today, he is a refugee, actually, from Myanmar. He was working in restaurants, joined us. Mm-hmm. Currently, he's making, way above, I'm not going to mention the salary, but way above your Malaysian salaries. Mm-hmm. Finally, we have another guy who is a B40 guy. He used to be a tuition teacher. Back in the days, he came from a family where he had a single mother. He couldn't afford universities. Mm-hmm. So what could he do? He had no choice but to go out there because he had to feed his family. He had to feed his mother, unfortunately, also is an immigrant in the country, so she couldn't get employment. So he had no choice but to explore learning on his own, right? He couldn't go to universities. He couldn't afford boot camps, which are 20,000, 10,000 ringgit. So he joined us and we bring him on board and he just left us recently, got a job in the US for $4,000, right? So these are all stories about how people, look at it this way. In the US today, the average salary for a software developer today, entry level, less than 1 year of experience, is $120,000. Yeah. Which is 2.5 times more than the average in the US.
Okay.
And what happens to the startups and the companies there? When they have to pay so much for an entry-level developer, they have no choice but to look out into Malaysia, into Philippines and all these countries, and what are we doing, right? So our talents now are all getting sucked towards these countries and what's left for us? That's why we need to have an alternative, a different pipeline, a different track for students to for new talent development in software.
Let's talk about this so-called new track or talent development for software. What would be some of the key features that you think is important for you to highlight, not just perhaps in Sigma School, But in general, in terms of empowering people to be a little bit more software educated, a little bit more coding educated?
Thank you. So this is a very good question. In fact, this is one of the number one main factors we focus on in Sigma School every single day for the past 3 years. I've been looking into this industry. One thing I know for a fact today, we are not lacking information. If you look at Google and everything, just a quick Google search, I believe you're good at Googling, right? Everything is on Google. What's hard today is the commitment, the accountability, the support that you get today, right? If you, you know, we are moving now from a world where everyone just looks for, back in the days, without the internet, you had to go to the library, you had to, I don't know, buy expensive books to learn to code. Today, everything's on the internet. The question is, with all these things on the internet, why is there still such a huge and crazy shortage in talents? Is it because, I mean, we look at online courses, right? From, I think they did a research on massively open online courses, MOOCs. In 2021, they did research, less than 4%, so exactly around 3.something%, I forgot what was it, less than 4% completed their course. I think that's true, because for myself, I came from a background where I taught myself how to code. I graduated in accounting and finance. I learned how to code on my own, and I gave up 7 to 8 times before I finally got my break, right? So I think it's a matter of accountability. It's a matter of peer-to-peer learning, a concept of learning where students learn with students, where we don't need to fork out a lot of money for, you know, the reason why universities and all this, they're expensive is because you have to pay for lecturers, you have to pay for administrative costs, you have to pay for a physical, very nice, beautiful campus, pay for nice experiences. What if we take out things that were not necessary for getting a job, but only drill down and double down on what it takes to get someone a job?
Okay. There's still plenty more to unpack, but we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a bit more with Derek of Sigma School. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me in the studio here in Bukit Jalan, Kuala Lumpur, Derek Yee, the co-founder for Sigma School. Derek, picking up where we left off just now, there is a lot of demand for this, but there seems to be a lot of challenges when it comes to supplying this kind of demand. People talk about coding all the time, but software engineering per se is a rather wide discipline to look at. Where do you feel the kind of gaps that needs to be addressed, and how does Sigma School address these kind of gaps?
Cool. So today, there are a few gaps in the market. You have entry-level gaps where, you know, you just need those people to do basic-level coding work. And you have innovation gap where people explore the deep R&D research where the PhD guys come in, right? Sigma School is well-positioned in a market where we focus on entry-level positions. So if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, I can give you an example. May not be the best example, but this is an example that I think of all the time. If you think of building a house, you're going to need a few key players. You need the guy to close the deal and get regulatory approval from the government. You need the guy to, the architect, to design the place and to plan out, the engineers to plan out to make sure it's good. And finally, you need the laborers to move the bricks. In the world of software development, it's the same thing. You need the architect, the guy up there to make sure the code is solid, to make sure it's scalable, to make sure it's clean, it's refactored, it's good. And you also need the guys, for lack of better words, to move the bricks. The junior guys, right? If you look at in an average team of software development, you probably have a ratio of one senior or one team lead to a team of 10 to 20 junior developers. So the lack here is, yeah, we're lacking everywhere, by the way. We're lacking in innovation, we're lacking in the senior guys, we're lacking in the PhD guys, and we're also lacking in the junior guys. For Sigma School, we are positioned to help people do one thing, and one thing only, to get that entry-level position in software. What happens after that? For example, my student who got that $4,000 job, he's 20 years old, by the way. This guy, what happened after that? It's up to you, right? We have another guy who got a job, 3,000 ringgit, 3.5K, sorry. And he stayed at that salary for 1 year. So what happens after that? It's really down to your soft skills and maybe to some extent luck or your how driven you are, how determined you are. But our goal at Sigma School is to provide you a platform where, number one, you don't give up. You continue learning with your friends. Number two, you learn forward, future-proof technologies that will not get, you know, replaced in the future, right? And also number three, we help you get an entry-level job.
Yeah. So you're targeting that segment, the entry-level job. You're also targeting an area where you don't necessarily need the best kind of skills as a prerequisite to join the school. But also, there's this whole element of competition, not just in Malaysia, but of course in many other countries, especially those from India or Lithuania or those places in Eastern Europe, it's very hard for us to compete in terms of scale, in terms of cost, and most importantly, in terms of turnover or the speed of writing. Do you feel that those are the kind of ever-persisting challenges that it's going to be difficult for us to grow our software engineering, I guess, discipline here in this country?
Yes, I think that's a very good point. You know, the countries you mentioned, these are all the powerhouses of, you know, tech entry-level talents. This is a good concern. But if you look at the way the market as a whole, the landscape, the way it's moving today, right? Digital transformation market is $1.3 trillion, right? Dollars. And it's moving, it's growing at a CAGR, a growth rate of around 20% every single year. Mm. The number of unicorn tech startups that we have in the world today, 11 years ago, that was, we had, I think, 10 new startups per year. And in 2021, we had 200 new startups per year. That's 20 times more unicorn tech startups. And for those who are unsure, unicorn tech startups are those who are valued at more than $1 billion, right? With the advancements of, you know, the need for innovation, right? If you look at just, let's come back and look at Malaysia in general. In Malaysia, it is predominantly an SME market. We're ran by SME, you know, local businesses in Malaysia, right? And local businesses, typically the Chinaman businesses, they don't see a need to invest. Look at this, 100,000 ringgit to hire a developer. That's crazy, right? Why would they do this when they're happily making money? Well, the fact here is they don't have a choice anymore. Because when one, you know, like I mentioned the example just now, if hiring a developer is able to help you take away, you know, cut down your costs and make your operations a lot more smooth, right? And you get to cut your costs and you get to optimize a lot of your processes, then this makes you a better company compared to your competitor. And once your competitor finds out about this, you know, everyone, it's just a kind of a rollover effect where everyone will start investing in technology, right? And I personally know this because I worked before Sigma School, I've worked with a lot of SME companies where they told me, Derek, I know I need innovation. I know my competitors are doing innovation, but I don't know what to do. I've reached out to software engineers, but they're just so damn crazy expensive and they don't have the ideas. I need someone to help me map my business to these software engineers and find a direction where I can innovate and be better in terms of processes or in terms of, you know, cutting down costs or in terms of just modernizing their tech stack to make sure things are, you know, better.
Okay. And of course, because of this, it's very hard for us to see where we can challenge them head on. I'm talking about these markets, right? India and many other places like Eastern Europe. Do you feel that there could be some unique advantages or value-added service that we can do in order for us to stay competitive against this very highly globalized and very challenging world?
So I think for this is a broad question, right? So for me, just based on my experience, understanding how it's like working with foreigners and working with, you know, just Malaysian local talents, I think one of the very, I guess the biggest point here is, you know, we put aside everything else, like in terms of government support, in terms of foreign direct investments in your local talents, put all those aside, one thing, right? Malaysians speak very good English. Mm. That's it. This one fact, it's Malaysia. I mean, not trying to throw shade on, you know, foreign talents as well. And let's put Lithuania and all that aside because the time zone is different. So it's very hard for, let's say, Singaporean talents, Singaporean companies to hire them. Right? Let's put Lithuania aside for a moment. Indian talents, I've had a lot of experiences, myself personally and people around me, where when I say India, sorry, I meant those from India, the foreign Indians, right? Not the Malaysian Indians. They are good in what they do. However, in terms of communication, in terms of commitment, responsibilities, you cannot have a certain level of assurance that the job will be well done out there because they're so far away and there's just no way you can, you're bounding yourself to them legally, right? But whereas for Malaysians, you know that these guys are here, they're here to stay, they are not, you know, just a face online where they could just go missing the next day, right? I've seen cases like that happen and I think this is one thing that gives you that edge for Malaysian talents.
All right.
Commitment and the yeah.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Derek of Sigma School. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Derek Yee, the co-founder for Sigma School. Derek, let's talk a little bit wider in terms of the space that you're operating in. Let's talk about the enablements that it comes along with the software engineering kind of space. Do you feel that the government perhaps could do a little bit more? MNCs could support it a little bit better? Where do you feel that the support could come and why?
I think we have to start from the government, like most things in the world today. If the government is able to support us from the grassroots level, which means people, of course, from preschool, from high school, from colleges and all that. See, the thing is this. People don't know about the opportunities that you get to unlock when you understand coding, right? Malaysians are... I love Malaysia, let's put it this way, right? I'm doing this to save Malaysia because those in other countries, they're coming in and taking our talents out. I'm doing this because I want to provide a different pipeline for Malaysians. And why am I making money today? I'm making money today because it's simple. There is a need for it. However, you know, that it's not included in our curriculum. In terms of what governments and what corporates can do, right? I think it's very, 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 very clear. It's giving an educational opportunity where it's project-based, where students exactly get to learn what is being used in the workforce. But like I mentioned, technology changes every few months. It's hard to find talents who's able to understand, okay, this is the direction we're moving forward. I want to invest in this and that technology stack where these students learn this and they will not be disrupted or they will not be replaced in the next few years, right? So the government needs to set up a separate body on its own to just make sure that the citizens are digital native citizens. When I say digital native, it means that not just code, you know, it's not just, oh, yeah, writing a loop or, you know, writing an if-else statement. That's basic. That's logical thinking, computational thinking. What about building things? Can you build your own app, your own personal website? Can you build Airbnb from scratch? Mm. Can you build Facebook from scratch? If you're able to build Facebook from scratch, you're going to get a job for sure. Well, maybe not. I'm not sure how much they can pay you, but you're going to get an entry-level job for sure because people are looking for developers because it's solving a real-world use case. So the governments and corporates, the corporates are the best people to come in here because corporates are now struggling to hire. HR industries are billion-dollar industries. All these companies, they're charging 20,000 ringgit for a match. Just to match you to a talent, they're charging 20,000 ringgit. However, we don't have enough people providing the talents. All they're doing now is they're just reaching out to, I don't know, universities, they're reaching out to LinkedIn platforms to bring on board talents, right? What about the people in charge of nurturing these talents? Are they moving in the right direction, right? Are they innovating in a way? If you look at universities, it's going to be very expensive. And if the system is designed in a way where you just cannot innovate fast enough because look at it. You have invested so much money in XYZ lecturers. You have invested so much money and so much time in XYZ curriculum, XYZ tech stack, XYZ whatever curriculum that you have. If it changes, they are not incentivized to change the curriculum because it's going to cost them a lot of money, a lot of time to change, right? What if we could do something where it's on a peer-to-peer model? We are able to innovate because, like I mentioned, the first point I mentioned today was there is no shortage of information today. You can learn anything you want online. Harvard's course is open source online, right? What if we could understand the needs of the corporates, understand what are they doing, and then bridge that gap by just combining all these open source materials and students learn themselves together in a social learning platform. In a co-learning, you know, we work co-working, right? So what we're doing is a co-learning space. We don't say that we have the best curriculum ever. We say that we're selling the experience of students learning together, helping each other and innovating on, hey, look, I found a new tech stack. It's used by XYZ companies. Let's explore it together. Let's learn it together.
The importance that you place upon governmental institutions to assist in this development, not just about Sigma School, but in general, this landscape is crucial. For now, do you feel that the government, at least Malaysian government, is emphasising enough, investing enough in this space? Or do you feel that a lot more needs to be done?
A lot more needs to be done. I've been to, I'm from Perak, that's my hometown. I've seen the people there. They are just not aware, right? Let's not go so far to Perak. Let's talk about KL. Out of 10 people, I probably can tell you that, yeah, people have learned to try coding. Where have they tried? They haven't tried through, you know, government programs or free boot camps and all that kind of stuff. What they've tried is through just Googling how to learn to code. And I can tell you now, 9 out of 10 gave up at some point. They're like, oh, yeah, I tried, but I guess it's not for me. Why is it not for you? It's because you just don't know. You reach a roadblock and you stop. Right, that's a filter. With all things in life, that's always a filter, right? There's always a filter in terms of how you progress to the next stage. If you can't get past this filter, you give up. So is there enough support from the government, from the private institutions, from enterprises to help people leap past different filters and improve themselves to a level where they can monetize their skills? Learning is easy, right? You say, oh, I learned to code, you know, it's easy. I've learned to read a book, it's easy. But can you monetize from it? That's hard, right? And the government needs to step up to provide opportunities to these students to understand that what you're learning today is going to be used in the workforce. What you're learning today, don't give up, keep going, right? Keep going, don't give up, because you can eventually monetize people. So we need to save them before they give up.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. Melissa, day is dawning upon us, and of course, you know, this is a time when we really need to explore about how to, you know, level up as a country. I think the work that you're doing at Sigma School is not just critical, but of course, very patriotic as well. And also, it's not just an easy job. It's actually quite a difficult job for you to do this. Coding is perhaps quite easy. I took on coding back when I was working in a bank. But making this a lifelong passion, that's something else.
Correct.
Derek, thank you very much. I'm quite honoured to meet you. That was Derek Yee, the co-founder of Six Sigma School. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to Astro Awani, look for Sigma School. You can also go to their website to find out more. Just type Sigma School, and of course, there's plenty of resources that can be found there. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.